Good afternoon to everyone. This is more than socially distanced. That's a long ways there. But thank you for joining us this afternoon for the daily COVID-19 update. And I'm delighted to bring this message to Northwest Arkansas today. And I'm also grateful for Mercy Hospital and for its hospitality today, for a wonderful meal that was provided, but also for hosting some community leaders that we met with. And I say we, Dr. Nate Smith is here with the Secretary of the Department of Health, and also have Dr. Jose Romero, who will be the interim Secretary of Health when Dr. Smith goes to the CDC. We'll be losing him, but we've got a good team effort here today. And Mayor Greg Hines, I want to thank you for your hospitality as well. And good to be in your city. But we had a very good conversation today about the uptick in cases in Northwest Arkansas and what we need to be doing about that. I was also able to meet with members of the minority community, both the Marshallese as well as some of the Latino community. And we had a good conversation as to what more we can do in messaging effectively to them. Before I go through the cases, I did want to just remark about something that has also been in the news. And let me comment on the protests that we are seeing across the nation and the state. The senseless death of George Floyd in Minnesota, while in custody and control of the police, and while begging for his life by saying, "I can't breathe," has rightfully sparked protest and resulted in fear, distrust, and outrage across our country. I know we have had protests in Jonesboro, Camden, Fayetteville, Russellville, Conway, Little Rock, and West Memphis. Tonight, I presume that there will be more. And I respect and support the peaceful protest. That's an important part of our democracy, of our expression, and as I said, the outrage is understandable, as we have seen most recently in Minnesota. But let me emphasize that violence to person and destruction of property is not acceptable and is counter to the message that the protesters are actually trying to convey, which is peace, which is unity, which is reform of the criminal justice system. And the violence to person and destruction of property will not be tolerated. I'll be leaving here and going to Little Rock to address this more specifically at a 4 o'clock news conference. And now let me return to our case report for today for COVID-19. Yesterday we had 7,253 cases. In the last 24 hours, we've had an additional 190 cases. That brings the total to 7,443 COVID-19 cases. In terms of hospitalizations, we were at 115. Now we have a plus 6, which is 121 in terms of hospitalizations. Deaths, zero new deaths in the last 24 hours, which we remain at 133, and we're grateful for that. In terms of testing, we continue at the high rate of testing. We've had 3,798 tests, which is a large number of tests, as you know, and that positivity rate is at 6%, just a little bit higher than it has been at the 5% or lower range, but it's still a fairly consistent rate that we've had. As you know, my goal for testing in the month of May was 60,000 tests, and whenever I made that announcement, I could hear a few gasps. That there's no way you're going to be able to reach that goal. Well, Dr. Smith and his team and all of the hospitals, the testing sites across the state of Arkansas has worked hard, and the communities have said, let's get tested if they needed to be tested. And so we have tested now not just 60,000 in month of May, but we have tested 80,808 citizens during the month of May. This is an extraordinary number. We hope that pattern can continue into June, as we look at testing nursing home residents and testing the nursing home staff across the state. And with that, let's do our customary pattern of going through some of the graphs, and then we'll go through the statewide graphs, then we'll come back to Northwest Arkansas and look at some of the counties and areas here in Northwest Arkansas. The number of new COVID cases in Arkansas, you can see that we had the spike that one day of 450 cases. We're down from that, but we're still, you know, between 200 and 250 cases on some days. If you go to the next slide, you'll see it in a rolling seven-day average that shows the trend line of the orange line. And, of course, we had our early peak in April. We flattened out, and then we're going back up. And you can see the trend line, which is not a good trend line, that we hope we can reverse. And then this is the number of hospitalized, which is something that we watch every day, because that's a matter of hospital space. It's a measurement as to the level of sickness of the COVID patient, and our hospitalizations have been a little bit jagged, up, down, up, down. Today it's about 120, 121, which is actually a modest number of hospitalizations, but we want to watch that trend. And then if you go next, this is the seven-day. This looks at the Northwest region, and this is a seven-day rolling average of new cases in the Northwest region, not total cases, but new cases. And here again, you can see that forever, it seemed like, Northwest was under 20 cases a day in terms of new cases, and you were looking at the rest of the state and said, what's wrong with y'all? You know, we don't have a problem up here. We don't need any restrictions, and you can see what's happened. And it's simply a reminder that this virus rolls across the state in sometimes different time frames in every region of the state. And so you cannot take it for granted. You cannot say, well, we're past that. It's a matter of constant vigilance that we have to have. And that graphic speaks for itself in terms of where we are in Northwest Arkansas. If you go to the next one, this is the number of hospitalized in Northwest Arkansas, and even though that's a very dramatic increase in hospitalizations in terms of the chart, that still puts you at 45 hospitalizations in Northwest Arkansas. Our hospital space is more than adequate to accommodate that, but it obviously illustrates the fact that we need to get a handle on it here. And then you go on, this is the growth rate, and you can see the central region of Arkansas, the northeast, the middle is the northwest, and the central, I have to get over there to see it, southeast and southwest regions. The two growth areas really are northwest and southwest, and the northwest, of course, has the dramatic growth that we see right now. It's really driving the numbers in the state right here in northwest Arkansas. And then if you'll continue, this is the daily average of new cases by week. And so week by week, you can see the increase, which it has flattened during the last 2 weeks. We want to see that trend line go down. And I thought now we're going to look just at the Northwest region. I think we have some slides on the Northwest region by county, perhaps. Okay, I think we've covered the slides there, unless we're missing some. What's that? Okay, that's good. All right, we'll Dr. Smith will have an opportunity to go through a couple of those in Northwest Arkansas by county, and you can see some of the counties that are sticking out and others that are doing a little bit better. With that, let me say I also met with the poultry industry leaders today, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, and had a very good meeting, because they have really set a national model for best practices in the poultry industry from their companies right here in Northwest Arkansas, and I want to applaud them. They have really taken the extra steps of testing. Tyson's is moving to testing every worker in the plants in Northwest Arkansas. Whenever you look at Simmons Industry, they have health centers at their plants that will help take care of their workers. They are testing not just employees, but they're testing applicants as they come in for a new job. That way they make sure they don't have a new employee that will expose other employees. They're setting up best practices within the facilities themselves to keep the workers safe. They're providing health care, and they're doing an extraordinary job. And I think, they're a model for our state and nation, and people should feel comfortable that they're working hard to keep the supply chain moving, to make sure that we have food in our grocery store, that we have protein, but that also it's something that they're working hard to keep their workers safe and the public safe as well, and making sure they're not contributing to the community spread. And I really appreciate the leadership that they're providing. Had an excellent meeting with them today. With that, let me turn it over to Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. Just wanted to give a little bit more details on the numbers and then go over some specific numbers from the northwest part of the state and Benton County in particular. As the Governor mentioned, we've had 190 new cases since yesterday. Three of those were in correctional facilities, so 187 were community. We have, as the Governor mentioned, a total of 7,443 cases. Of those, 1,909 are active cases. Of our active cases, 78 are in nursing homes, 53 are in correctional facilities, and so the number of active cases in the community right now is 1,778. Since yesterday, we've had six additional healthcare workers who were infected, seven additional nursing home residents, and eight additional nursing home staff. The governor's mentioned that we are at 121 hospitalized, which is a net increase of six from yesterday. We have 26 currently on a ventilator, which is a decrease of one from yesterday. And we've had no new deaths, so we're still at 133 deaths. We have had 5,401 who have recovered. That's 126 increase from yesterday. The governor's gone over our testing numbers. We're very pleased with what we've been able to accomplish this past month in terms of testing, but we're going to need to increase that even more. I was on a call with the state health officer in Tennessee, and she mentioned that in this last month they tested 3.8% of their population, which is quite a feat. My private goal is going to be for us to test 4% of our population in the month of June, but I don't think I'll have a slide or anything to prove me wrong if we fall short. But that would be 120,000 tests for June. I want to give some specific numbers for Northwest Region and then also for Benton County, and then talk briefly about some of the other counties in the Northwest where we've seen increased growth rates. In Northwest Region, we have had a total of 1,749 who have tested positive. Our percent positivity rate for the region has been 5.8%. Now, we've done a lot of testing here in Northwest Region, but we are still behind the rest of the state. We have done 281 tests per 10,000 people in Northwest Arkansas, whereas for the whole state, we've done 442. So we need to do even more testing in the Northwest part of the state for us to identify those cases. And the point is not just to drive up numbers, but to identify chains of transmission so that we can stop the spread of COVID-19 and ultimately to save lives. Of our cases here in Northwest Arkansas, we've mentioned we've seen a growing number of cases in the Latino community. And of those cases that we've had in Northwest Arkansas, 43% have been in among the Latino community. We have currently in Northwest Arkansas 985 active cases. For Benton County, we have a total of 608 cases. Our total positivity rate here in the county has been 5%. And we're doing a little bit better on testing than we are for the whole Northwest region. We have done 432 per 10,000 population. That's just slightly under the state average of 442. So we're making good progress. We still need to do more testing here. Here in Benton County, we have had 49% of our cases in the Latino community. We have 268 active cases here in Benton County. Of our cases here in Benton County, 28% of them have been among poultry workers. 63% have been in the city of Rogers. And we have worked very closely with the poultry industry and will continue to do so across the state. We've had 571 poultry workers infected with COVID-19. 392 of those are active cases. Of the poultry workers who have been infected, 73% have been from the Latino community. And we're working very closely with a number of those industries. We're offering testing, contact tracing. In many cases, they're doing a great job of partnering with us on that. So I want to thank members of the poultry industry, and there's too many to call out everyone, but I did have a conversation with George's, that operates Ozark Mountain Poultry here in Rogers yesterday, and we talked about shared strategies and goals, and was very encouraged by the work that they're doing and the partnership that we have together with them. I want to talk briefly about other counties in the Northwest where we've seen increased growth in the number of COVID-19 cases. Of course, Benton County, we've mentioned already. Crawford County, the numbers are low, but they've increased quite a bit in the last week. And then we also, of course, have Washington County. Yell County has also seen an increase from 96 to 136. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor, and we'll then answer any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, and let's go ahead and turn it open for questions you might have. Doug.
Dr. Smith mentioned about more testing being needed to identify chains of transmission. Poultry, food processing plants, particularly poultry, seem to be, to a layman, a pretty big link in that chain of transmission. I mean, is that the primary source of the problem in Northwest Arkansas?
Well, it's broader than that, and so there's a community spread here in Northwest Arkansas. It's multiple different facilities where people might work, but it is also, you know, more broadly in the community other than simply the workplace. And so we're looking at this holistically because anybody who works in a plant or a factory or a business comes home and goes to the community and plays ball, and or they don't play ball now, hopefully, but they have activities. They might be going to a daycare or their children. And so that's the community spread that we watch. And I look at the poultry industry, again, is doing an incredible job. And you look at the numbers that they have in their facilities, and they're in a very controlled environment. They have some cases there, but they've taken steps, and it's very impressive. They do their own contact tracing and trying to break up some of those transmission chains.
But they are cooperating with the state, right? I mean, when they do contact tracing at the workplace, Dr. Smith and others, I assume, are informed.
Absolutely, they are. And Dr. Smith, do you want to add to that?
And the contact tracing that they do is not does not replace the contact tracing that we do, because of course people who work at any workplace they also go home, and they have families and communities, so they're contacts that have nothing to do with their workplace. But it is very helpful if we have an employer work place that is able to help us with that contact tracing, because they can more readily identify the close contacts at work. And so working together, we can come up with a more complete picture.
Let's over to the left here. Was there a question? Yep.
Hi, I'm Alex Golden with Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You mentioned that you met with members of the Latino and Marshallese communities today. Can you kind of tell me what came out of those meetings, what were their concerns, and how will that guide the state's response?
Well, it was a listening session, and one, we were talking about the means of reaching the minority community, both the Marshallese and the Latino community in Northwest Arkansas, and the importance of social media. But it's also a matter of social influencers. Who do they listen to? And who are their trusted officials? And they did not always point to me. It could be their doctor. It could be their priest in their church. And so those are ways that we listen that we can have a better impact. It is also about making sure that they understand how the tests are going to be paid, that the tests are free, but then they worry about their cost. If we are sick, who's going to pay for that? Do we have insurance? Do we have Medicaid? You know, and so the cost can be an impediment to good health care. So we talked through a lot of those issues, shared information, and I think from that we'll be able to make some additional adjustments and hopefully make some additional progress. Yes, in the back.
With the push for testing with nursing homes, will you be requiring nursing homes to retest employees or residents who have already been tested? Some facilities have previously done their own testing.
I'm going to let Dr. Smith, did you hear that question?
Yes. In some cases, we will ask people to be retested if it's been a period of time. With our PCR testing, that's the best way to identify active cases, but it only tells you whether someone is infected at that point in time. And so a week or two goes by, and there may be a reason to be retested.
Yes.
Thank you, Governor. Ted Miro with KNWA. Going through some of those graphs we're looking at, it looks like some of the numbers are at or near the worst we've seen in terms of hospitalizations. The seven-day rolling average was pretty high as well. And yet, some restrictions are still being loosened, things like certain sports today, camping over the weekend. Why continue to loosen these restrictions, and are you concerned that that sends a conflicting message to what the case numbers are doing?
It's an excellent question, and all of the restrictions that we have lifted are consistent with our phase one. And our phase one we entered into on May 4th, but we gradually lifted those restrictions very slowly so that we can measure any impact from lifting of those restrictions. And as Dr. Smith has pointed out, we don't have any data to support any connection between lifting the restrictions and the increase in cases. Secondly, while we're not going to be quickly going to phase two until we get a handle on the current uptick in cases, we have to learn to manage our way through this crisis. And when I say that, I'm talking about managing the risk, making sure that we can go to work, we can go to school, we can have our normal life. In terms of activities and necessary functions, but at the same time being safe health-wise. And so you look at the fall, we're still going to be having the virus as a threat to us in the fall. We can't be restricted forever. We can't be sheltered in place over that long of period of time, and we haven't done that before. And so lifting the restrictions in phase one is consistent with where we need to go, and we've just simply got to really work hard in our community about protecting against the spread of the virus, which is through the social distancing, the facial covering, so that we can protect against that spread. Yes.
Hey, Governor, Andrew Epperson with KNWA. Going back to the poultry conversation, some of the things that you and Dr. Smith lauded these companies for were in place before the recent spikes. So I was just wondering, perhaps in the conversations with Ozark Mountain, maybe some new strategies, knowing that we do have positive cases in those plants now.
Dr. Smith?
Certainly, and of course, doing things right in terms of workplace doesn't mean that that none of your workers are going to get infected, because they still go home and they're in the communities as well. But they've listed a number of things that they've done and are continuing to do to try and minimize the risk of COVID-19 spreading at the work site itself, but also providing additional education that's both language and culture appropriate to help them protect themselves when they go back home to their communities, and protecting their families and their communities as well.
What does some of those educational, materials look like?
Well, I think that's probably a longer conversation than we have right now. But some of the things that they've been doing is realizing that things like wearing a face mask, it doesn't. You just don't flip a switch when they show up to work. And so they've been providing them masks to take home, some household cleaners, things like that, to help them put into place these measures at home, so when they come to work, it's just an extension of efforts they've been taking to protect themselves and their family members.
Yes, ma'am.
Catherine Milker with 5 News. How was your call this morning with the president, and what will you do differently to make sure that protesters in Arkansas don't turn violent?
Well, first of all, I think the state police and other local law enforcement have done a very good job in Arkansas in terms of respecting the right of protest, but at the same time, whenever it shifts into destruction of property, they've taken a quick action. And so compared to around the country, we've done well, but I don't like comparing Arkansas to just simply around the country. We want to make sure that we do the best job for our citizens every day in protecting property as well as respecting the First Amendment. In terms of the call with the president, I did break away to have a call with the president and various governors. And, of course, he is looking at the national picture and saying, are we doing all we can to control the violence that we see and the destruction of property? I'm confident that we are in Arkansas doing exactly that with the right protective measures, and we'll continue to do so. And that's part of the reason for my statement today and statements later, is that we've got to make sure that we have the law enforcement coordinated and that it respects the right of protest but protects property, and we're committed to that whether it's tonight or tomorrow night. Two more questions, one back there and one here. Back here first.
Not all police departments are requiring their officers to wear masks during these protests as they are trying to patrol these different cities. Do you think that should be mandated for officers to be wearing masks?
Well, I'd have to know more about whether this is a security issue, a safety issue, a visibility issue for the officers and their decision. But I will observe that the video that I saw and the pictures that I've seen, both the protesters and law enforcement have done a pretty good job of recognizing that we've got to be socially distanced or wearing a mask. So that's actually one impressive thing I thought about some of the sites that I have seen during this. But now we will take a closer look at that in terms of law enforcement, but there could be some reasons that they made that decision. Last question.
Thank you. A couple months ago, I believe it was in April, you loosened some workers' comp restrictions for you made it easier for first responders and, I believe, frontline healthcare workers to get workers' comp. Has that been extended to any other workforces? And if not, given that we're seeing a large number of cases in the poultry industry, for example, are you considering expanding those sort of guidelines?
Well, it's important to me that if there is a causal relationship between employment and contracting COVID-19, that there is a workers' compensation remedy to that. My workers' comp commission says that is the case. I think there's perhaps some legal questions about that, but that's what I've been told, but I do believe that is an important standard. I also acknowledge that's hard to prove. And so I am delighted with those employers that have made sure that they protect the employees, that they, if they have to be quarantined, they continue the compensation during that time so they don't lose any pay because of COVID-19. So I think the employers, by and large, are doing the right thing, but we want to make sure that the employees are protected. And if there's a problem with the workers' comp law, then that needs to be changed so they have that remedy. Thank you all very much. It's great to be in Rogers, and it's good to see Judge Marion there with you. Barry, thank you for your leadership, and our state legislative delegation that's here as well. Thank you. Y'all have a great day.